Belinda presents this unabridged recording of The Glutton, written by A.K. Blakemore and read by Philippe Spall. They look like grave figures, the way they move along the dim corridors between the dim rooms. It is because their long habits hide the movements of their limbs and the muted shuffle of their feet on the bare stone tiles. Because their long habits disguise the movements of their limbs and the muted shuffle of their feet on the bare stone tiles, they look like they are gliding, as though it is some outside force that compels them along the dim corridors and between the dim rooms. They nod to one another when they pass. Sister Perpétue supposes she must look the same way they do, because she wears the same long habit and the same white cornet with the wide wings on top of her head. She supposes she must also look like it is some outside force compelling her along the dim passages and between the dim rooms, which, she supposes, in a sense, is true. Love? God? Love and God being one and the same, of course. There are crosses nailed to the walls to show it. There are sisters gliding along the halls in their white cornets to show it. It is, or was, the day of autumn crocus. It was raining outside, heavily, the last time she was able to look out of a window, drowning the sooted cornice work and the shy evening lights of the city. There are crosses nailed to the walls, but there are very few windows. The windows that there are on this floor of the hospital are very small and barred. You can really lose your sense of time in this place. She knows what time it is now, though. She knows it is near midnight, because she has been called to the place where Sister Amandine watches the patient who must always be watched. Sister Amandine is sitting upright in a chair in the corridor with a prayer book open in her black lap.
"You mustn't fall asleep," says Sister Amandine.
"Why not?"
asks Sister Perpétue.
"Always these stupid questions," says Sister Amandine, "because he must always be watched."
"But you're looking at your book, not watching him at all."
Sister Amandine closes the prayer book and presses her lips tightly together.
"The patient has been given laudanum," she says, "for the pain. Now he is sleeping. And in any case, he is bound to his bed."
"Why?"
asks Sister Perpétue.
"That was what I meant," she says. "I meant, why are such precautions necessary? Citizen Dr. Tissier says he is certainly dying."
Sister Amandine leans forward slowly in her chair, red, big-knuckled hands still sandwiched around her little prayer book.
"You mean you have not heard?" she asks.
"I have heard," Sister Perpétue says, "things that could hardly be true. Could hardly be true if they were said of any man alive."